The hour that packs a punch. It's Reese on the radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
I got to make sure before we get out of here, I want to talk about manufacturing. It's because of the story that was written about the Ford CEO and what he's doing with some of their part-time employees. But there was something interesting I learned about manufacturing as it pertains to Gen Z. We'll talk about that in a little bit. It's Hollywood News with your correspondent, Reese on the Radio. All the glitz and all the glamour. It's Hollywood News. Roland, that was your part. You missed your cue. You missed your cue. That's going to be a horrible Hollywood News. Anyway, by the way, if you're interested, send me a message on Facebook. So I just got word that the first Avengers Doomsday trailer has been leaked, or at least the description has been leaked online. And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of excited. I've already heard it. I don't care about spoilers. Tell me everything. So I've heard some great news about the leak. So if you want to know about it, just send me a private message or instant message on Facebook, and I'll tell you exactly. I'll even send you the link of where you can actually go check it out. Are you interested in Doomsday? I know you are. Yeah. So, yeah, I just found out who the first trailer is going to be featured in one of – well, no, it's one of four. And I just found out what all four of them are going to be. And the first one is one that is a doozy that I'm really excited about. So that is. In other Hollywood news, Oscar-nominated actor Lakeith Stanfield, who has stepped in to play NBA legend Dennis Rodman in the upcoming Lionsgate film 48 Hours in Vegas. And Stanfield, who's known for standout roles in Judas the Black Messiah, Get Out, and in the TV series Atlanta, he replaces Jonathan Majors in the project, which had faced delays. Well, what does the movie 48 Hours, what is it about? It's about the 48-hour escapade to Las Vegas by Dennis Rodman during the 1998 NBA Finals with the Chicago Bulls, with all the stuff that Dennis Rodman. So he asked Phil Jackson, the coach at the time, if he could take a break. And he went to Las Vegas, and it was bananas.
Yeah.
And now they're going to feature that in a film. Jordan had a TV movie about him. There's never been a Hollywood release about him at all. So I'm very interested in watching Dennis Rodman.
I don't know if he could play Dennis Rodman.
I don't think so either. I think Majors was a little too much as well.
Yeah, Majors is too big.
I would just make Dennis Rodman play himself. If anything.
You got to have a son, right?
Yeah, he has to. Just anybody. This is one of those things where you have to pull somebody off the street. Yeah. Like when Mekhi Phifer was pulled off the street to act in Clockers, you just got to pull a guy off the street who wants to be an actor who might look like Dennis Rodman.
Who might look like, yeah.
Exactly.
Got to get a lookalike.
Got to get a lookalike who's like 7'1", you know. Pull that guy off the street. Let's get another check on weather and traffic. Tom O'Hanlon is in for Mark Christopher. He's in the BPS Traffic Center.
It's Reese on the Radio on News Talk 1080 WTIC.
Hey, we're back. By the way, if you want to give us a call before we get up out of here, you can call us at 860-522-WTIC, 860-522-9842. Davey says Dennis Rodman has actually acted. He has. In fact, he did a movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme, and I can't remember what the other movie was. I know that cannot figure out what the other movie was. But I do know he acted with Jean-Claude Van Damme in an action film. It was absolutely panned. But I do know he acted before. And like I said, I think Dennis Rodman can play himself, even narrate a movie. I think that would be cool as well. Also, I want to give a round of applause to our very own Morgan Cunningham. He announced that on January 3rd, between 9 p.m. and midnight, he'll be starting his own three-hour program called Nighttime Neighbors. And he puts it here, it's a homespun talk show that combats a growing reliance on impersonal tech. We are living in a world in which people think chatbots, cell phones, and AI-infused toys are their friends, and that's not okay, according to Morgan Cunningham. So I'll embrace my idealistic allure through monologues, guests, and conversations to foster a community of truckers, shift workers, insomniacs, shut-ins, and whoever else is looking to talk that entertains and inspires. I like that. So congratulations, Morgan, and we'll see you next year, and of course every morning right here with Brian and Company. So I saw this story about Ford, and this was an interesting story because Ford is looking for workers, and they are trying to get Gen Z into their manufacturing plants all across the country. And part of the reason is those who do work don't stay. A lot of them are part-timers at Ford, and they work at part-time also at places like Amazon. And he said a lot of these kids are only getting about 4 hours sleep. Why? Because some of them are working two, even three jobs. They make about $25 an hour working at Ford. And according to the CEO of Ford, he says that's not enough. And I agree. I don't think it's enough. Not if you want to keep people. Jim Farley, by the way, is the president of Ford. So he went all the way back at the beginning of the founding of Ford Motors 121 years ago and thought about how Henry Ford got folks to stay by raising their salaries, obviously. But that's only part of the problem. It's not just money. The problem is Gen Z does not like manufacturing work. They don't. They don't think it's glamorous. And in a lot of ways, we've kind of crapped on it. I was thinking of movies like Norma Rae. Like factory work always looks like it's not very glamorous. I was just thinking that I don't even know, where did Eminem work in 8 Mile? He worked at a manufacturing plant. And everybody there looked gritty, old, and tired. They look frustrated. And that's always been the look of, because kids, kids look at work through social media, right? How it's portrayed in Hollywood and on television. And it never looks good. I remember the days of watching Roseanne on ABC back in the day. They all worked in a manufacturing. They worked in manufacturing. And they always, what was Roseanne's biggest complaint? They didn't make enough money. They didn't have health insurance. Everything was expensive. They were always struggling. They were always trying to put their kids through school or pay for things. They were always right at the brink of bankruptcy. So according to this story, it said it's absolutely true that young people, especially Gen Z and younger millennials, are largely rejecting traditional manufacturing jobs, contributing to a massive labor shortage that is crippling the industry. We're talking hundreds of thousands of unfilled positions today, projected to balloon into nearly 2 million unfilled jobs by 2033. That's per Deloitte and the Manufacturing Institute's latest reports. With up to 3.8 to 4 million new openings needed overall as boomers retire. This isn't some liberal media spin. It's hard data from sources like BLS, NAM, and industry surveys showing manufacturers struggling to attract youth despite decent pay and reshoring efforts. Critically digging here, while Gen Z is flocking to other blue-collar trades, be it construction up 23%, HVAC vehicle repair up 7%, vocational enrollment surging to 16% recently, kids are ditching college debt for six-figure flexibility. And status gigs or boss status gigs that are glorified. Factory work specifically gets a cold shoulder. Only about 14% of Gen Z say they'd consider industrial or manufacturing roles, and polls show just 25% of Americans overall think they'd be better off in a factory. Perception is killing it. Outdated stereotypes of dirty, dangerous, and monotonous assembly lines persist, even through modern plants that are clean, tech-savvy, or tech-heavy, with robots, AI, simulation software. Here's the rejection, or why they claim that there is rejection. Of course, the outdated image and boredom. Young folks envision Dickens-era sweatshops, according to reports. Career growth and development. Top reason Gen Z plans to leave or avoiding entering are perceived lack of advancement, training, or skill building. They want clear paths, mentorship, and room to innovate, not rigid. Not rigid hierarchies. I'm like, why am I reading that wrong? Okay, rigid hierarchies. Work-life balance and values. Gen Z prioritizes flexibility. This is the one that gets me. Mental health and purpose over grinding 40 hours plus. Many would rather be unemployed than unhappy in a mismatched jobs. Factory shifts often inflexible, high stress with safety concerns lingering in perception. The pay is another one. Now, I get the pay part. The other stuff, I don't be paid to. But the pay and the prestige. Every kid likes the prestige. The average rate of pay is $52,000 to $60,000. This is including the benefits premium, but below national averages in some views, especially versus trades or remote gigs. Societal bias still favors white collar and prestige, though that's shifting. Parental societal influence. Boomers and older parents steer kids away, fearing instability despite manufacturing's resilience. So again, as I said, a lot of us are steering kids away from manufacturing. I've worked in would a warehouse job be considered? No, I guess it's not. I don't think that's manufacturing. I worked in a warehouse before. And that was a temp job in Buffalo. I didn't, to be honest with you, I'll admit, as a younger person in my late 20s, I hated that job. That was unfulfilling. That's because I had, loftier goals in mind. But I guess I can understand. If you're in your 20s and you're in your early 30s, you wouldn't think of working in the factory. Everybody thinks that they're a star. Everybody thinks that they're going to be like, corner office. There used to be a time where, remember when they used to say that everyone is, they put them in public education so they could be workers? What happened to that? I would be happy to have that back. They said the public school education was doing nothing but breeding people who were going to work. Just going to work in the factories. Now these people have loftier dreams. What's wrong with these people? Let's go to Gary in Southington. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Reese, how you doing?
I'm all right, sir. What's up?
Hi, I'm calling in because I know a lot about manufacturing.
Please.
Hey, it was nice to meet you and Roseanne the other day.
Thank you, sir. A pleasure to meet you, too.
Wonderful people you are.
Thank you.
And that was a real blessing when the master's, the kids came in and singing the Christmas carol.
Oh, yeah. The master's school, the Aria Choir, they were amazing and great kids to boot. And they liked me. I was actually pretty impressed.
I know. What's wrong with those kids?
So you worked, did you work in manufacturing, Gary?
I do work in manufacturing.
Oh, you currently do. Okay, please, tell us.
And you know what? Please stop using the word factory. It's not 1960 anymore. Oh, my gosh.
So wait a minute. If it's not called factory, what should we call it?
Manufacturing.
Oh, just manufacturing. Okay.
Most manufacturing, look, I'm a CNC programmer.
Okay.
And a lot of the manufacturing jobs now, they need engineers. They need CNC programmers. They need setup people. They need managers. Mm-hmm. These are all clean jobs. And actually, the real data on manufacturing jobs, what I have read as a whole, are pay more than the 4-year college degree. They're talking averages.
Okay. Yeah, the average they're talking about is this $52,000 to $60,000. That's an, again, that's an average rate across the board.
Right.
Some of the places, even Ford is saying here in this article, what they want to do is they want to go above and beyond, I guess, the part-time rate, I think, was somewhere around $66,000. They want to go higher than that to lure Gen Z into that job.
Now, one of the problems that I've seen is that a lot of manufacturing, or most manufacturing, is computerized. So take right CNC machines. Well, the kids, a lot of the kids are going to school for it. Even locally, there are schools where you can go for like 4 years. But you really, it's hard to really learn in that. You have to be on the job to learn.
Yeah.
To learn that trade. Well, you know, they don't want to. They come in and they think they're going to make, you know, $35 an hour, but they're not ready. So they get discouraged real quick because it takes years to learn that. It really does.
You notice the part that I don't understand is that even Ford with building the assembly, right, that literally brought us the middle class. Right, with the assembly line.
Yeah.
We brought us the middle class. They destroyed so many manufacturing jobs in places like Pittsburgh, in places like Ohio, right? All of those places were offshored. And, of course, it destroyed the middle class as we know it. Literally hanging by a thread. The fact that in doing that, in sort of moving factory or manufacturing jobs, I apologize, out of the state or out of those states, right, it hurt the industry. Not only that, I was mentioning like how we portrayed it in our media. You know, they give this impression that all factory or manufacturing jobs look like Norma Rae, right? So
yeah.
That's the way when I think, you know, or, you know, Laverne and Shirley, you know, at the pop stand, you know, at the pop factory. I always think of that with everybody looks dirty, wearing a kerchief on their head, you know, wiping off grease and looking disheveled, right?
There's always going to be a need for engineers, especially manufacturing engineers. And these jobs, a lot of them start at $80,000 a year. I know at my company, a manufacturing engineer starts at $100,000.
Damn, really?
Well, yes. And you work at Pratt Whitney, you're making probably $150,000 or something.
Wow.
There's a lot of good paying manufacturing jobs. And this is a pretty good state, despite what the Democrats have done.
Yeah.
This is still a pretty good manufacturing state.
Yeah, you know what? We might need to, and I think that's what we're going to do next year. We're going to start our little jobs program here on the show. And you know what? We may need to focus on manufacturing because I know some people out there who don't think that they have what it takes to get into those positions. They don't even know they're available. Because if you listen to the news, we hear every day that those jobs are gone.
Yeah, that's a lie.
Yeah.
There is such a demand for CNC people, it's unbelievable. You talk to any recruiter, they are screaming for CNC people. But, you know, you have to put the time in and you have to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's a good paying, they're good paying jobs. They have excellent benefits in most cases. And usually better benefits in other fields.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary. Thank you so much, Gary. I appreciate the input, okay?
All right.
Thank you, man. Good meeting you, too. Let's take a break. Let's get some weather and traffic. Tom O'Hanlon is in for Mark Christopher. He's in the BPS Traffic Center. We'll be back.
The Odyssey app lets you jump back to the moments you missed from WTIC News Talk 1080. Download the free Odyssey app. Search WTIC News Talk 1080 and tap earlier today to get started.
Yeah, make sure you do that so you can catch all of the show, everything from the opening monologue where we talked about my interview with Richard Blumenthal and those who thought it would never happen, even to my dissertation of the Truth Post by Donald Trump about Rob Reiner. Speaking of which, stand by. So I'm reading this, and somebody from the United Spot posted this, and it is what we like to call a supercut to me and many others. Many others call it a montage, but they posted this. In fact, I'm going to put it on my X account. I'm going to repost it. And it's a series of comments coming from Rob Reiner, not just about Donald Trump, but about you and I, MAGA folks. This is the first one. Let's start it off with this one. He says, until Trump goes to prison, I will no longer be posting on Twitter. I've had it with the insults and put downs. F all you MAGA a-holes. Rob Reiner. That's what he wrote. Those are his comments, nobody else's. Here's another one. Donald Trump is a rapist who led a deadly insurrection to overthrow the United States government. His followers don't care. He is about to become a convicted felon. His followers don't care. If we want to preserve our democracy this November, the rest of us must care. These are all the things that he wrote, right? Rob Reiner also wrote, this was May 16th of this year. Trump flip-flops. He does 180s. But the one thing he's consistent with is that is every day he breaks the law. This coming again from Rob Reiner. Also, this is from February 23rd of 25. The convicted felon president can continue to lie to his followers, but when the truth starts to affect their lives, they will abandon him, he wrote. Here's another one. The difference between Joe Biden and Donald Trump is Joe Biden is a decent law-abiding person and Donald Trump is a pathologically lying criminal, he wrote. Oh, this one's good. Rob Reiner attacks Rush Limbaugh as purveyor of disinformation day after Rush Limbaugh's death. Yes, that was Rob Reiner a day after his death. Here's another one. Donald Trump embraces white supremacy, uses the presidency to enrich himself, shuts out the media. Welcome to a nationalist totalitarian oligarchy. That is another tweet by him. The day after Rush Limbaugh died, Hollywood filmmaker Rob Reiner attacked the late conservative host as a purveyor of disinformation, saying that Americans must protect democracy from others like him. Yeah. So, again, there was no kind words for individuals after they died. None. At all. Talk about punching down. Rush Limbaugh was in the grave. Could you punch more down? And now you'll probably say, well, Donald Trump should be better than that. Hell no. No. This is what I say. We should always meet people with the same amount of energy that they give us. Always. They're not what? If they're not going to bother to be kind and respectful to you, why should you? Like, why should it be incumbent upon you? Nonsense. Let's get another check of traffic and weather. We'll be back. We'll see if there are any more in here that are interesting. Let's get back to Tom O'Hanlon filling in for Mark Christopher in the BPS Traffic Center.
What's up, everybody? You know who it is.
You know who it is. You know who it is.
It's Reese on the Radio. Frederick Douglass of the 21st century.
It's WTIC News Talk 1080.
Hey, we are back and about to get up out of here. Don't forget, if you haven't heard, gubernatorial candidate Ryan Fazio will be on the program on Friday when we are live at the Avon Old Farm, a hotel. And we'll be there, of course, for the holiday store. So if you'd like to come on out, please do. You know where it is. Come and visit us. We'll be there from 2 to 6. We have some other interviews there as well. If I remember correctly, I think Netsy is coming out from the Marshall House. Can't wait to see her and talk to her and for you guys to learn what she does there. At so many great conversations with her, having met her twice. Can't wait till she comes on the air to come hang out with me. I'm going to talk to her about a whole bunch of stuff when she comes to the studio or comes to Avon Old Farms for that matter. So we'll talk to her about that. So we got Ryan Fazio. I know we have Netsy Jimenez, who's going to be there as well, and plus a whole bunch of other things. And I'm sure you folks are coming by, drop off donations. Don't forget to also go to 31333. Text WTIC to 31333. You can donate. You can do it actually periodically. You can put it in there for bi-weekly, bi-monthly, and all that good stuff. Yearly even if you want to make a donation, but we're trying to get that number up to $30,000 this year. Last year we got it up to $25,000. So text to give at WTIC at 31333. So get that done. Dr. Steve is back And I can only assume, Doc, what you're calling about. What do we got this time?
I can't wait to see if you're correct or not. But before I say anything, whatever you say about Rob Reiner, can we agree that Spinal Tap is one of the greatest movies of all time?
Yes, I will say that. But in my view, I'm sorry, on my top five list is The Princess Bride. I love that movie.
Oh. Totally fair. It would be hard for me to put Princess Bride beneath Spinal Tap. I'll agree with you to put them on the same tier.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So my comment is, you know, I appreciate that many of the comments that Rob Reiner said were off color. They were petty, et cetera. But I think you and I would both agree there's a difference between Rob Reiner and Donald Trump. Can you say what you think I'm going to say?
I'm going to go with.
No,
that's okay. I don't know what you're going to say about this, but I will say this. I do not believe. Do I believe that the two men are different in some way because of as far as their stature is concerned? My answer is no.
Okay. Well, if your answer is no, I will say my answer is yes.
Okay.
I would say that however much you might challenge what Rob Reiner said, Donald Trump is the president of the United States of America. He is the most powerful man in our nation, arguably the most powerful man on earth. And what kind of person can go on? What kind of narcissistic, petty, thin-skinned, vindictive loser can make an attack on a dead man while he's the president of the United States?
Hold on. I think, listen, the bottom line is, dude, you gotta get what's coming to you. Rob Reiner. Okay, so let's take Rush Limbaugh versus Rob Reiner. Who would you consider?
No. Reese, we're not, though.
Why not?
I'm talking about Rush Limbaugh. I'm talking about what Donald Trump did. First, against a dead man.
What did he do? Listen,
Donald Trump is the president of the United States.
But what did he do?
But Doc, I don't know how you can defend him.
I am. I'm going. If you give me an opportunity, Dr. Steve, I will. And I'm not even defending Donald Trump. I'm calling it for what it actually is. Listen to me. Just hear me out. You are saying that Donald Trump did something that was heinous in nature by just writing that Rob Reiner had Trump derangement syndrome, as if that's a lie. It isn't. It isn't a lie. And he clearly did. He went above and beyond to not just attack his presidency, but he actually put sweat equity and his own money to undermine his office. He helped congressional Democrats completely sabotage, if not overthrow, the president of the United States with a false Russia claim. He was active in that. So he got, and again, people talk about Donald Trump punching down. Rob Reiner made it his personal effort to actually undermine the president of the United States. And he used his prestige and his own money to do it.
If you were the one who was attacked by Rob Reiner, I would say have at it. Do everything you possibly can to speak ill of a man who's dead.
No, I didn't. I don't think he spoke ill of him.
I'm talking about the president.
I don't think he spoke ill.
But
Dr. Steve, he didn't speak ill of him. Here's the thing. Dr. Steve, let's hold on. Give me a second.
Yeah.
Because I got to grab this thing, but I don't want dead air. Listen, he didn't speak ill of him. He said a very sad thing happened last night in Hollywood. Rob Reiner, a tortured and struggling but once very talented movie director and comedy star, has passed away together with his wife, Michelle. He starts it off with, he was absolutely honest there. What did he say that was so demeaning? Here's the thing that everybody's got a problem with. Reportedly due to his anger caused others through massive, unyielding, and incurable affliction with the mind-crippling disease known as Trump derangement syndrome, sometimes referred to as TDS. He was known to have driven people crazy by his raging obsession with Donald Trump. He did drive people crazy, and he did have an obsession with Donald Trump. None of those things are lies. He did not say that Trump derangement syndrome got him murdered. He made everything he said here is a fact. Everything.
I think a more mature, decent man would not have to call those quote-unquote facts to bear on the day of a man's death. And it makes me like he's. I wish that our leaders would be people that would inspire the youth of today to see what being mature, decent, kind is.
Like Obama?
Exact opposite of that. Again, let's not go to different people. I'm focusing on the man who is currently.
You're talking about the office of the President of the United States, right? The office of the President of the United States. And you are one. You're holding Donald Trump to a higher standard as President of the United States than you're willing to hold others.
That's true. I mean, you've seen what he's written like on Easter. The messages he sends on like national holidays where who's he throwing under the bus? He throws me under the bus for disagreeing with him on freaking Easter.
But wait a minute. Hold on. You have to understand, right? There is nothing beyond the pale that people aren't willing to throw at Donald Trump, even so much as to call him a murderer, right? Which Chris Murphy has done. Chris Murphy, hold on. Chris Murphy has gone on the stage in Texas and said that the President of the United States is at the center of a child sex ring. Okay?
So if we were going to have a conversation about Chris Murphy, we could talk about
No. But what I'm saying is that
the person who is I am
saying that. So what I'm saying is that turnabout is fair play, right? So does Rob Reiner get to say whatever he wants about Donald Trump, and then
yes.
and it's does he? He gets to say whatever
yes.
he wants, and Donald Trump
yes,
gets
and
Donald. Hold on. And Donald Trump has no license to say anything. The president, the leader of the free world, the most powerful man in the world, is not supposed to say a thing?
I think can you agree that there's something immature
no.
and thin-skinned
no.
about the action? Well, then we
No, and I'll tell you why. Here's why, Dr. Steve. Here's the reason why.
Yeah.
Here's the reason why. I refuse
to... Would you want your kids to behave like that, honestly?
Wait a minute, my kid? Whoa. See, again, I'm going right back to people talking about this. And this was said during the Hillary campaign. This was said.
Yeah.
Hillary, in fact, put out a campaign that said, our children are watching the things that Donald Trump says. And then imagine that after the guy gets into office, people are running around saying that Donald Trump's going to bring back slavery. Not once did anybody bring back the Hillary ad and say, we shouldn't be talking like this about our kids. People said that he was a threat to democracy. Whoa. He was a threat to democracy. People said that if he's elected.
I mean, right.
Wait. Of course you are. You're allowed to say anything that you want, but what you want is a submissive president who says nothing and just lets it fall off his...
No, there's a big difference between being submissive and being powerful.
Okay, so and what do you... Okay, how about this one? Let's try this on for size, Dr. Steve, just so we can get...
Jesus, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus...
Donald Trump ain't Jesus. Let's not... Hold on, I thought we weren't comparing. You stop me...
Go ahead.
Dr. Steve, you stop me at every road where I tried to compare, and you said, well, let's not compare, and now you're comparing to Jesus. So,
okay. For that, I'm wrong.
You told me I could. So what I'm trying to ask you is it real simple? It's real simple, and I'll let you go.
Yeah.
Okay? I know you don't like what Donald Trump does. I get it, and I know that it incenses people because Donald Trump should behave better. But here's where I will appeal to your better angels, right? I think that Donald Trump owes it to his to the people who support him to push back on anyone who tries to undermine his presidency, and he doesn't sit there and allow it to happen because people are saying, like, people are going to stand around and say, dude, are you not going to defend yourself? And he does. And sometimes it ticks people off. But people who really follow Donald Trump and understand him, they know. And I can read between the lines on this statement. He said, rest in peace. May Rob and Michelle rest in peace. He said a very sad thing happened last night. He talked about how it was tragic that what happened to them. You may not like the Trump derangement syndrome thing, but everyone is ignoring the fact that he said, may they rest in peace.
That's fair. I appreciate that, and that is a fair point.
Well, okay, then fine. We can agree with that. Thank you, Dr. Steve. I love you, man. I miss you all the time, man. Thanks for coming back. Dr. Steve knows I love him. He doesn't have to agree. Rex, you've been in and out, man. Every time you call up, you got to hang up. Are you working? Rex, are you there?
Oh, no, I'm not working. I'm just listening to you, Reese. You're amazing, dude. Like, you're freaking amazing. I'm a long time first time, and I just want to say God bless you for your perspective. And I am mother from a brother from a different mother. That's all I can say.
Thank you, Rex. I appreciate that.
No, no. And so, listen, man, this growing up in the Farmington Valley of Connecticut, and I know you're newer here to this great state, but let me tell you, man, what is going on right now and the political environment, and you nailed it with Chris Murphy, and thank God that you brought Blumenthal on. Listen, we live in a very, very blue state. Yeah. I get that. I am not living on that side of the spectrum. I've been here my entire life, 63 years. All I can say is that it just seems like we need more balanced discussion. We don't have any balanced discussion. I don't care if you're left or right. We don't have it.
That's what I'm trying to do here. And again, listen, Rex, people like you who call up, and I totally love it, and thank you for making this your first time, but I tell people all the time, I do this program, you know, which might be in a lot of ways an echo chamber because a lot of conservatives look, but I talk directly to liberals because I know that they listen in vast quantities. They listen. And I tell them all the time, You guys don't want to have a spirited discussion on this because when you do, you always fall short. But you know what? I'll keep inviting you back. I will never, I'll never shun you.
No, you do, but you do it with facts and you do it with grace. And the thing that I like today, the whole discussion around what President Trump, it's President Trump.
That's right.
Not Donald J. Trump. He's the president of the United States, okay? The way you articulate what he said about Rob Reiner, and listen, I'm old enough to have remembered, Archie Bunker. I remember that, okay? But the point is, Trump wasn't being disparaging and mean to Reiner. The reality is that Reiner has been brutally intense to Donald Trump for all the years he was in office.
Indeed. And Donald Trump was leaps and bounds more forgiving to Rob Reiner than Rob Reiner was ever to him.
God bless you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you for taking my call. I will be calling more often. I can't wait to meet you in person.
Thank you, sir. You got it. You got it. We got to get up out of here. Thank you so much. Beckman says, you're 100% correct. What did Craig write? Craig said, I had three people in business try to ruin me and my family professionally, financially, and personally. Being dead doesn't give any of them a pass if asked. And I said, if I were to read this, I don't understand what the outrage is about. I don't get it. And I think, and I know it's reaching. I know what it is. It looks like, oh, Trump made this about himself. Did he, though? I don't think so. He said, rest in peace, Rob and Michelle. All right. As I always say, radio was free, so we thank you for paying attention. Remember to keep JC in your hearts and in your minds. Sean Patrick, we love you. I miss you. Remember that panic is not planning, so plan your work and work your plan. Me, I'm Reese on the radio. You have a good night, a pleasant tomorrow. We'll see you at the Avon Old Farms Hotel. I got to remember to say Old Farms. We'll see be there tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Come on by and say hello for the holiday store. Mark Christopher's out, but we got Tom O'Hanlon. He is getting you home in the BPS Traffic Center. Good night, guys.